All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. There may or may not be something in there. we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are you doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
And I am here.
You are. Yeah, you're not in Egypt.
I'm not on my way to Egypt. That's true, yeah.
Man. That's true. Yeah, what happened there?
What happened there?
I wonder, yeah.
As if we don't know. Yeah, there was, you know, a thing. A little event took place.
Yeah.
And we're not there. So here we are.
Yeah.
At time of recording, it is what it is. At time of release.
Who knows?
We have no idea what
No idea what could be, yeah.
At time of release, Egypt might not be there anymore.
Seems less likely, but yeah, it's possible. Let's hope that doesn't happen, because now we just laughed about it. So
it's quite volatile over there right now. So yeah I'm sorry for your trip.
Me too. Yep.
Now, is this going to be postponed, or
for now it is just canceled?
Are you going to re-gypt it?
Oh, good lord! How long have you been sitting on that one?
No, just come to me. I did tell you I saw y'all's meeting about Egypt, and I told you it was a real missed opportunity to not call it a pre-gypt meeting.
Right. Pre-gypt.
Yeah. Right now we're just canceled. The challenge that we faced, because Egypt itself, as of this time, was all fine, and so all the hotels and airlines were still operating as per usual, and so they don't have the grounds to like offer us refunds, because the war is not affecting. So we had to cancel to make it apply to like people's travel insurance and things like that. So,
okay. Yeah.
So it is canceled, and we'll see if we're able to do it again sometime, so or actually do it sometime.
You rejected them; they didn't reject you.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Take that, Egypt. Yeah. It's not us, not you.
It's you.
Yeah.
But it's us.
Or it's. Somewhat, yeah. It's me, conversely, by the transitive property.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. Look, I at least respect, you know, like, if you know your dating person is going to break up with you, you got to
get
in there. Do it first.
Get out first.
Oh, that's so healthy.
Yeah, I feel it coming. Right. I can't be broken up with. I've got to be the breakie. Preemptive strike. It's the American way, right? Yes.
All right, I got some news for us.
All right.
Have you been,
is it better than the real news?
Yeah, please be fake news.
It's not. No. Do you like the Grey Wolf Lodge?
The Great Wolf.
I've never been to the Great Wolf Lodge.
I have been once upon a time. It's fine. Indoor. I mean,
I feel like it would give me anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, it's crowded and loud, and yeah. But
for
it's fine.
Me, it's one of those things that I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of fun, and then I look at the price tag, and I'm like, why am I paying like half the price to go to Disney for that?
Right, yeah. An indoor water park.
Why wouldn't I just go to Disney? You know, like. That's what I think, but you know.
I hear that.
Yep. But anyway, if you are a Great Wolf Lodge patron over the next couple of weeks,
okay,
you're in luck.
Okay.
Oh, for what?
What's the deal? What's the special sale that we got?
They're launching a new milkshake.
Okay. I like a milkshake.
Me too. Who doesn't love a milkshake?
Mine brings all the boys to the yard.
Does it have iguana in it?
Great Wolf is going to charge you. It is not iguana. It is a combination of vanilla.
Like it.
And ranch.
Nope. Nope, nope, nope.
Why?
Nope. Why, Lord? Yeah. Have mercy on us. We know not
These
what we
These are the
do.
End times.
Yeah. Speaking of, right. That's a little preview of what's to come. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Vanilla and ranch with garnishes.
What are the garnishes?
Carrots, celery, and crispy chicken.
Oh, God.
Listen, can we just leave the garnishes on the side? Because I'll eat some crispy chicken.
Right.
I'll
don't
that.
Put it in the milkshake.
Sure.
I don't
well,
want the carrots.
The rim of the cup also has a salty lime mix.
Ew.
That was the ew?
None of these things.
I can get behind a salty lime
correct.
Mix, but mixing either of those things with vanilla, like the salty lime with vanilla, is weird.
Salty lime is for a margarita, not ranch.
I mean, obviously, like, I think salt on ice cream should be fine.
Yeah, that
like,
should be fine.
Like a salted cookie
and lime
is
would be
good.
Okay.
Yeah. And a little lime in there is probably
a salted
fine.
Caramel milkshake sounds
the delicious. Ranch is obviously the worst part of this. Yes, I mean, like, if we're being honest, like, you know.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Even, like, okay, you gave me a vanilla milkshake and it has a carrot and a celery stick in it. I'm like,
weird,
okay.
But whatever. No. I need a carrot with vanilla ice cream.
Yeah,
because
it's
going
to taste like vanilla and not like a carrot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Even the chicken. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
The ranch, though.
I mean, I used to dip french fries in Frosty. That's the way to go.
That, yeah,
yeah. Sure. So I get it.
It's very good.
Yeah,
sure. Chicken nuggets and Frosty would also be delightful.
I love fried chicken, so
yeah,
and why not
pretty
in
much
a
every form.
Yeah.
All
we
right.
can go test this right now. We can get ourselves a vanilla milkshake and some fried chicken.
Are we going to Great Wolf Lodge, you guys?
No, we're just getting a milkshake and some vanilla milkshakes.
Well, this is available between March 5th and March 20th. So
oh, it's, not,
time,
it's not up yet.
At time of release, though, you're it's, good to go.
Yeah,
you're good
it.
To go.
And we know your plans are canceled.
I got nothing to do.
Great Wolf Lodge.
Yeah. I got a week
Let's
open.
Go.
Let's go check it out.
Get the whole crew together to go to Great Wolf Lodge.
All right, Egypt trip. Yeah.
There may be one in Egypt, Texas.
a Great Wolf Lodge?
Yeah.
There
isn't that just like at the backside of the Woodlands? It's not that far from here.
But still, you could take everybody to Egypt, Texas. We could. Be like, we're here.
But there's not a Great Wolf Lodge there. I still have not achieved the goal.
There's probably a ranch there.
There's probably a ranch.
Yeah. National Ranch Day is in those dates. March 10th.
Did we need a day for ranch? We just passed National Condiment Day. That was not too long ago.
We didn't even talk about it.
I know. Yeah. I was surprised that it didn't.
I celebrated private.
It's very personal.
That's right.
Are you going to celebrate National? I mean, you would have been out of the country for National Ranch
Day. That would have been my preference.
That would have been tough.
To be as far away from.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't think Egypt has a lot of ranch. You know?
That is true. I have not. I have been to Egypt. I have not seen ranch in Egypt.
Never been to Egypt. If I'm being honest, I'm not quite sure what the national like cuisine of Egypt actually is.
And when you're in the northern part, it's Mediterranean-ish.
Okay.
Mediterranean adjacent. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, not a lot of ranch.
Not a lot of ranch.
Tzatziki, maybe.
Which is like
Egyptian versions of tzatziki.
Greek ranch.
Yeah. Yeah. Every culture has their ranch.
Yeah. Maybe you can eat yourself a tzatziki milkshake.
A lot of other cultures.
With some shaved meat.
A lot of other cultures' ranch is better than our ranch. Can we just agree? Like, tzatziki is way better than regular ranch.
I think I agree with
crema,
that.
Crema, way better than ranch, yeah.
I think I would not want tzatziki on a pizza, but I'd be fine with some ranch on a pizza.
Like a Greek pizza would be great with tzatziki, with like chicken and feta and spinach, and then drizzle some tzatziki on that. That'd be delightful.
I think you're moving away from pizza.
Wasn't the original pizza, in fact, a Greek or Roman pizza?
Oh, Roman, but I don't think Greek.
Oh. Well, they were part of Rome there for a minute. So.
Yeah, but I don't think they claim that.
They don't like that. That reminder.
Yeah, I think everybody was part of Rome for a minute.
Right.
Including Egypt, so maybe. All right, there you go. So, listeners, you have an opportunity. It's $3.10. So, honestly,
that's a deal.
It's not, when I think of Great Wolf Lodge, I would be like, this thing is like $12.
Right.
You know,
that is a steal to try something that's absolutely going to be disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet that it's more a curiosity, I bet, for patrons of the Great Wolf Lodge of like, oh, look at this. A ranch milkshake?
Yeah.
But it's only $3.
We can make our own.
We could make our own.
There's an idea that we did not
I've got some chocolate milk ice cream in the freezer. And there's probably some ranch down there, too.
I don't feel like chocolate is going to improve
we
the scenario at all.
We can find some vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, I'm just saying, on property.
On
both
property,
of those things.
We could do this right now.
Yeah.
What we don't have is a way to make a milkshake.
We have a blender.
Oh, shoot.
So there you go. Because I was going to make a milkshake.
Any more
milkshake.
Excuses, David?
No, I'm out. That's all I had.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the ranch just takes the place of the milk, and then there you go.
Ew.
No.
Oh, man, that thing's got to be a million calories, too.
Yeah, that's like, the problem.
I mean,
unlike the health milkshake.
Right. One of the problems.
Speaking of problems, let's talk about it. What a great transition.
Yeah.
All right. Doobie. So this is from a Substack. Do you know what that is?
Our friends at Substack.
That's not how that works.
Some of them are our friends.
Substack is like a way that people can write stuff.
Correct. It's like, it's like a blog, but like legit.
Yeah.
Our blog's not legit?
No.
Okay. All right.
You can like monetize Substack. People
right.
Do
correct.
Letters through Substack.
Sure.
I mean, once upon a time, I had a blog. It was definitely not legit.
I think there are plenty of people who have Substacks that are definitely not legit.
Every time I've encountered a Substack, at least have a level of legitimacy, not just like
an air of legitimacy.
So this is Jonathan Larson's Substack, and he is a independent journalist.
Okay,
aren't we all independent journalists?
We're all armchair journalists. I think there's a difference
between being independent and being an armchair.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's paying me, that makes me independent, right?
Right.
All right, so what does Mr. Jonathan have for us?
I mean,
this has been verified by other sources and stuff like that.
This has been verified.
He broke the story, but then it has been verified elsewhere.
Correct. We went straight to the sub
the original,
source.
Yeah.
The sub source. Yes. U.S. troops were told Iran war is for Armageddon and return of Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
And this is not just being told by, you know,
one person.
People on YouTube or whatever, some weirdo prophets on YouTube. No, these are commanders in the military telling their officers this is because of Jesus.
Jesus has anointed, I think was the language. Jesus anointed Donald Trump to carry out this war and light the signal fire. Was that right?
President Donald Trump was anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon to mark his return to Earth.
got a lot of fodder for this podcast here. Yeah.
Yes.
This complaint of this language comes from 40 different military units.
Okay.
At least 30 different military installations.
Oh, my goodness. So this is not an isolated incident. No. This happened by a lot of people in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
And it was reported by the, what was, MFRO?
MRFF.
MRFF. I knew there was F's and R's.
Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
Which
that's what that's
called. Which is a cool organization. I did not know they existed, but they're a nonprofit outside of the military that exists so that military service members can report incidents that infringe on their religious freedom. So they can say, like, hey, I'm a practicing whatever, or I'm a non-practicing anything, and I'm being forced to do this thing or pray this thing, or
yeah,
I, like this,
or start Armageddon,
right?
I mean, probably just throwing that out there.
That probably was not what their founding documents were in, but yeah,
this is a big one.
We need to be prepared for the moment when someone tries to start Armageddon. Yeah. We need to. But it was an organization that was started in the 2000s, I think, is what I heard.
No. Oh. Yeah, yeah. I don't know much about MRFF, so.
I just learned about it. It was really interesting. I did not know it existed, but I'm glad that it exists.
Yeah.
So I think it's important.
For such a time as this.
Now, unironically, these commanders who are saying these things, they're not saying with warning or fear, but with joy.
Smiles, right? Yeah.
With some gladness. Hey, guys, we're about to start Armageddon.
We're so stoked.
It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty jazzed.
There's so much happening here.
So we got a lot going on. One, should we be jazzed about the start of Armageddon?
Yeah.
And two, is this the start of Armageddon? And three, is Donald Trump's going to start Armageddon? That one, maybe. Maybe not the way they think it is.
First point of order. We talked about this briefly before podcast started because I wanted to make sure that I had my biblical facts straight before I said this on the internet.
Sure.
But it does turn out that in the Bible, the person who is responsible for starting Armageddon is the Antichrist.
Right. Or at least who plays a pivotal role in bringing about the Armageddon. Yeah.
Right.
So
not anointed by Jesus in a positive way.
Not in a positive way. Yeah.
Maybe
the inevitability
a useful tool kind of a thing, but not a... look at this, guys.
Yeah.
Jesus is so stoked to start Armageddon.
So if we remember our revelation, which I'm all sure we've been studying up on, but if we remember our
revelation.
Maybe
now you need to.
Who knew? There is the moment when Jesus comes back riding on a horse, and he's got that sweet tattoo on his thigh, and he's got a sword in his mouth and all this, right?
Yeah.
Armageddon has already happened / started at that point when Jesus returns.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen because Jesus had said, okay, you angels, you go start this. Like, the angels go to defend at Armageddon, at least is the way that I and others understand Armageddon.
Yeah, yeah. I believe we got...
The instigator is not...
We've got two...
The good guy in
two
the story.
Pre-creatures, a beast from the sea and a beast from the land.
Yes.
And they come up and they basically are like the precursors to the Antichrist.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that, so that is what is starting Armageddon. Now, you could say, when does it start?
Hard to say.
We've also got little bees with human faces, so
there's a lot happening.
We're gonna say we might not want to take that as literally as you would want. And then also an asteroid hits the earth in the midst of that as well. A mountain comes down. It's called Wormwood.
Wormwood.
I mean, that is true, but I have never heard it described as an asteroid, so I just got myself confused for a bit.
It's a space mountain that hits the Earth.
I'm not denying that. I just had not heard it referred to. What did you say? I was like, I know what he's talking about. It just took me a second to catch on because there's not and then the asteroid came. I'm like, that's a different Armageddon movie. That's not the right one.
Maybe we got to look. It's all prophecy, right?
Yeah.
In the studio, we've got a bunch of pictures on the walls, red yarn in between it all.
Right. Patrick hasn't slept in days. Will Smith Independence Day style.
Okay. Yeah.
I like the Bruce Willis Armageddon personally.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it's a good story. Yeah. And it's got Aerosmith in the background. And
sure.
That would be a great soundtrack for Armageddon.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of my favorite Armageddon movie. All right. We got Independence Day. We've got Armageddon.
Sure.
Most of these involve, instead of cosmic events, most are zombies or or variations of zombies.
Yeah. We should say that none of them are actually Armageddon for a couple of reasons. One, in which all of the world is saved in all of these movies, right? There's none in which the world is actually destroyed. And two, Armageddon is not actually the time at which all the world is destroyed. So there's that. Like just,
I like Pluribus off of Apple TV. It's kind of like it's kind of an Armageddon movie.
Okay, I don't know. Pluribus. I have to check it out. Yeah, yeah. Is it a show or a movie?
It is a show.
Oh, okay. So a series.
A basically alien hive mind takes over the entire world, and a handful of people are not afflicted by that. So,
right. Oh, nice. So. Maybe we're the handful. We and our Beyond Sunday listeners, we're all that's left.
That would be terrible.
Well, we had a good run, humanity. Right. If it's up to us.
So much trouble.
If only the world could be saved by talking about ranch milkshakes.
If only.
Because if so, we're ready.
Great.
All right, let's get back into it.
Back to Armageddon here.
Back to Armageddon.
I think linguistically, there's some important information for us to have here, in that Armageddon is the Greek/Latin interpretation of Hebrew for Hamagido, which is a battlefield that was in Jerusalem, or not in Israel. You can actually go visit the archaeological site of Hamagido now. It is there. It was a place where lots of battles happened throughout history because it was on an intersection of crossroads that people would have to travel, so armies would meet there because they needed to get from one place to another. It was an important place to...
Whoops.
No, it wasn't an accident. It was an important place to control, so they needed to control that area, right? And so Hamagido is a biblical... From the biblical perspective, Armageddon is a known battlefield. Like, it's an area where the thing takes place. And so as we read the book of Revelation, according to John, right, he has that in his framework. When he's talking about Armageddon, he's thinking about this war that is taking place. And yeah, there's definitely a spiritual war that is happening in Revelation. We won't deny that. But that spiritual war is not the end of all things. Like, there's a lot of stuff that happens after that. Most notably, the rapture, which most of these generals are probably really excited about, is not part of that story, right?
Like, no.
When we look at Revelation and we look at the story of Armageddon and everything that's happening there, we are not raptured away from it. All of us are in it, right? And so the joy with which we think of bringing about Armageddon, which is false in and of itself, the joy which we think about bringing that up does not perhaps realize that we're in it. Like, if this is it, right? If
sure.
This, I'm not saying it is, but if this is it, we're all in this for the long haul. And our job then, according to Revelation, is to remain faithful to the teachings of Jesus, to how we love our neighbor and care for our neighbor and love and share and all those. Right? Remain faithful to the teachings of Jesus in the midst of great trial that will try to lead us away from that. And I don't know that bombing other countries is how we remain faithful to Jesus.
Is it not?
Personally. that's a personal take. You know.
I think that many people in this this military pipeline now would disagree with that.
Yeah.
I think they're going to say it's remaining faithful to Jesus is getting a machine gun or firing a drone at people in the Middle East half a world away.
I mean, the scary part about that, and this has been a problem for a long time that people have, it's gone under the radar, but it's been around. The evangelical right in particular had this weird alignment with Israel.
Yes.
And the alignment with Israel is based on, we have to rebuild the temple for Jesus to come back. And so all of this, I can't say this specifically, but religious right and what we would now refer to as Christian nationalism, their obsession with Israel and with defending Israel against all things, even against Netanyahu, who is maybe as crazy as, you know, some of the other world leaders that we might think about, right? Even like all of it is, well, if we defend Israel so that we can eventually rebuild the temple. Like, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Which is...
It's an ends to a means.
It is an ends to a means, right? And so, you know, destroying Iran is one step closer to, oh, well, now we can rebuild Israel because Hezbollah won't be able... And whatever it might be, right? And all of that is fictitious and based on 1950s, 60s stuff that is not biblical, that is not rooted in the history of the church. It is, terrifying is what it is. Yeah.
It's biblical literates trying to navigate a weird book in Revelation and other books that kind of talk
around-ish
about end of the world times, if they even are, you know, but they're biblical literates, so it has to be literal.
Right.
So it's weird stuff.
It is weird stuff, but we should be scared of it because this stuff is now apparently in our military, which is not where we want that. Right?
Especially because this is not the first and only time that a military excursion has been deemed like blessed and the will of God by those enacting it.
Absolutely.
And this is, you know, this is basically since there were militaries and since there were religion, those two things have been like intertwined we are enacting the will of God by destroying our enemies.
Yes.
Through military might.
And this has been a part of Christian history for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, Constantine.
It's not only our history, but it's certainly
where. Yeah,
where in the Western world, yeah, it's a lot of Christianity and it's a lot of war and it's a lot of those two things mixed together.
Yeah.
So
Constantine came to faith allegedly because he had a dream in which Jesus told him to put a cross on their shields and they'd win the battle, and that happened.
Yeah.
And so then he started believing in Jesus allegedly, yeah, right? Like
allegedly,
it was we're now picking up the mantle of Jesus and we're going to defend the holy whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when it comes to like religious, you know, imagery or how do we navigate religion in the midst of war, mm-hmm, it is not paint a cross on your bomb.
Yeah, I hope not. I don't think that's what we're called to. That's certainly not what Jesus taught or preached about in his life and death and resurrection. Yeah.
Now, one of the things that is true in this Armageddon that we're that's happening in Iran, is that those with the most power will be the most insulated from that war.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Both from death, from combat, and also even from like the financial ramifications those things. And so when these people are saying like, this is God's will for you to go out and risk your life for the sake of Armageddon, it is not their lives that are on the line.
Yeah.
Right.
It is always going to be those on the bottom, those on the ground. And that's why, you know, this is somewhat troubling to hear of military servicemen and women hearing this is God's will, not just America's will.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, frankly, as Christians, we should be troubled by this.
Yes.
Right. Regardless of your political affiliation, regardless of
even
who you
if
voted
you're
for.
Pro, you know, this conflict or killing the Ayatollah.
Yeah.
Like, even if those things, this language is really bad.
Right.
Yeah.
We should be I know nothing about Iranian politics, and maybe the Ayatollah was a really bad guy, and maybe the only way to get rid of him and to protect people was to kill him. Maybe that's true. You know, we had to make horrible decisions in World War II in order to protect lives. I get that. I don't think this is on the same scale as that, but I understand, like, maybe he was a bad dude. I have no idea. But using the name of our Lord to justify, and not only justify, but to celebrate this kind of violence and celebrate the fact that men and women in our armed services are going to have to fight and are going to die, right? And are going to be put in harm's way. And innocent people who have nothing to do with this are going to be killed.
Already
and,
have.
Yeah. Like to use Jesus' name to celebrate that is just so atrocious to me. I don't even really know where to begin, but like as Christians, we should all not just be offended. We should be terrified by this language being in our military.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially.
Like, it was one thing when it was on the fringe of some dude in the backwoods of West Virginia. Like, okay, that was weird, but like fine.
Yeah.
It's another thing when it's the, West Virginia. It's another thing when it's like our military commanders.
They are not listening. But yes.
But sorry anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real kind of the call is coming from inside the house moment, right? Or I think it should be for all of us. Like, oh, this is what, at least what the world sees as like American faith and Christianity, right? Like this is what we are putting forward. So insofar as that it's what our military is using in official briefs, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in the election cycle leading up to the presidential election of 2024, a lot of the...
2024? Oh, man. So long ago. So,
decades.
We're so young.
I know.
Just kids. You know, a lot of the rhetoric around... Vice President Kamala Harris at the time was like, voting for her is voting to start World War III because she will get us involved in all these wars. And now it's like a celebration of Armageddon. You know, like, and I don't know. Look, World War III is obviously would be bad. Armageddon seems worse.
Right.
You know, like, you know, we as a nation, we as a country, a world survived two other world wars at the very least.
Yeah.
Armageddon seems unsurvivable. You know, like that's the idea is like it all ends. This is the end of life as we know it. And the start, I mean, and I believe the start of the next thing is going to be beautiful and wonderful. I don't necessarily agree we should drop nukes to start the next thing.
Right.
Let's not hasten the process, maybe.
Yeah. Or with glee, you know, of
I
like...
Mean, yeah, and that... that's the story of Revelation, right? The story of Revelation is not people rejoicing that this thing is happening, but people having to remain faithful in the midst of things that are really hard, because the communities that John was writing to were all having to remain faithful in the midst of people, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of facing things that were really, really hard. And so it was an encouragement. It was an opportunity for them to say, hey, there is a reward at the other end of this. Right? And whether that's the right language that we would use to talk about it now, that, and we can get into that, the theology of Revelation is fascinating and not one we can do all the justice to today. But to take that message and say, nah, the purpose of Revelation is that we're supposed to go and destroy human life as we know it in another place, it's just so far off from what John, or I believe the Spirit, intend from the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. It is, are we allowed to say bastardization on this? It is that.
No.
Oh, okay.
We're not.
Bleep that
I
out.
I said yes.
go back and post and fix that. But but that's
your first warning.
Careful that.
For the censors.
The FCC is going to come down on us. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Sorry, West Virginia.
Yeah, because it was meant as an insult at West Virginia.
No, I just I assume any listeners in West Virginia have, you know, sensitive ears.
Sure. At any rate, I lost my train of thought. But it is corrupting Scripture to a means. And it is, again, right, it's the powerful taking Scripture that was written by and for people who were oppressed and using it to oppress. And that is absolutely not what his life and ministry was about.
Yeah, we're not a political podcast. I'm not here to talk about what is happening in Iran.
Sure.
And we can say we're not very well informed, but we are a religious podcast. And I think when it comes to religious
language, I'm pretty well informed on that.
And imagery, we are well informed. Yeah, we have enough language or knowledge to kind of make a statement that this is beyond, regardless of what you think of the war, of a conflict war, whatever you even want to call it, I don't care.
Yeah.
This language is disgusting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and that is completely inappropriate on every level to say, like, it is good for people on the ground to die. Like, that is God's will, for innocents to die, is mind blowing that anyone could land there.
Yeah.
Especially bearing the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Is really, really hard and really, really sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or not, but it was maybe a month ago or something. I had a sermon in which, we specifically had to call out Christian nationalism as evil, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is an appropriate time to just cycle back and remember, like, yeah, Christian nationalism is not Christianity. It is not patriotism.
Yeah.
It is not Christianity. It is cloaked in both of those to the ends of destruction and power and violence and a false gospel that is not aligned with the heart of Jesus. Or, like, so as Christians, we should all be saying, like, that is not the thing. Like, we've got to we've got to root it out. It's going to hurt, like, bugger, but you got to dig out the scab before, or not the scab, the what's the thing, splinter, you got to dig it out before it gets infected, and I think it's already infected, so it's going to hurt more now.
Yeah.
But we got to get it out.
Yeah.
Christian nationalism is evil, and it has no place in the church or in our government. Yeah. Frankly,
bugger is definitely a bad word in the UK.
We're not
just
in the
for
UK
the censors.
Sorry to all of our UK listeners and West Virginia for being confused.
Right.
why we're apologizing to the UK.
Right.
Yeah. Anti-theocracy is everywhere,
mm-hmm.
but here in America, that's the Christian one, and so that's these, that's what I'm seeing, you know, and it's the one that I agree, you know, theologically agree with, so even more anti.
Yeah. Oof, we got a little fired up today.
Well, it was a good day for it.
Was it?
I guess.
I mean,
might as well be.
I'm probably letting out some frustration from the whole canceled trip thing.
Probably
channeling that.
Womp, but womp.
I think I'm at least channeling it in a helpful direction.
Yeah.
I'm not just like
especially
yelling at people about soup at dinner tonight or something.
Especially
tonight hasn't come yet.
If this does bring on the Armageddon, you would have like a front row seat.
Oh man, I could have been right there. Yeah.
You would have been like horsemen riding through.
Would have been great.
You
could text us about it.
Now I'm gonna have to watch on the news like some
like some schlup
in West Virginia
drinking my ranch milk drink.
Ugh, West Virginia would drink a ranch milkshake.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay. Doubling down.
Man, West Virginia taking a beating tonight.
I know.
They're on blast. That's fine. All right. Anything else today?
No.
Well, hey, if you have an idea for how to bring about Armageddon, you can send that
to
us.
Keep it to yourself.
No, send us your thoughts. Oh, wait. We had an email. I forgot to.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Was it hate mail?
It was not. I wouldn't read that on the air. All right, let me pull this up.
That's a shame. I'm going to start writing this hate mail.
I know. I think we should have a section.
All right, this is questions about God. This is from Annette Hout, one of our listeners.
Okay.
It says, I came up with a question for God. Did God or didn't God harden Pharaoh's heart? Or the bigger question would be, what would God want in the Bible? The God version. So like if we had the God version of the Bible, what would be in there versus anything else? Yeah.
Interesting.
I know.
Well, we covered our thoughts on hardening Pharaoh's heart.
We did.
On a previous episode.
Well, I think that is what this came from.
Did that one get released already?
No.
Yeah.
Yes. Did it? Yeah. I don't know. It's hard. We pre-recorded something.
This came right after that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Bible says God did harden Pharaoh's heart. Yeah. So whether we take that as truth or not, that's what the information we have. That's the information we have. So
there we go. There's our listener mail. If you have other questions or other thoughts on the Armageddon or the downfall of humanity, we'd love to hear those. BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com. You can find all of our episodes at BeyondSundayPodcast.com or at loltwtx.org.
There you go.
It's all the things.
It's a lot of things.
Yeah, only three.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.